All right, and so we're continuing through with lesson number 5 this morning on the subject of study, your walk with God. And this is going to be part 2 of a couple different lessons that we're going to get into. But last week we looked at the thought of what is Bible study. And that was the first question we had to answer when it comes to studying the Word of God. And again, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's what we want to do when we study the Word of God. We don't study the Bible so that we can necessarily impress other people. We study the Bible so that we can be approved unto God, so that we can grow the closer to Him. We saw that Wednesday night with the church at Thessalonica, that we grow more and more, as chapter 4 tells us. And so this morning we want to see there number 2 on your paper. Why do Bible study? Why do Bible study? And though the Lord wants each person to learn the Bible in Sunday school, He wants us to learn the Bible in church services, He also wants every Christian to do his own personal study. As we said last week, you couldn't survive on one meal a day. You couldn't survive on 2 meals a day, 3 meals a day. And so even if you came to every church service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's not going to be enough to help you grow spiritually. And so you need to take what you get in church, take it home, and study it and learn about it and have your own personal Bible studies and your own prayer time. And that way the Lord really can speak to you through that. And so no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, every Christian should be a Bible student. And, when we first get saved, we start off as that babe in Christ. But then as we start to mature, as we start to grow in Christ, we start to take of the bread, and then we start to take of the meat of the Word of God. And the only way for a Christian to always have an answer for every man concerning what he believes is to be a student of the Bible. Because you'll have people, they'll come, they'll ask you, what does this mean, or why do you believe what you believe? And if you don't study the Word of God, then you're not going to be able to have an answer for them. That's why it's so vitally important that we are a student of the Bible. And so why do we do Bible study? Number one, it's to obey God's command. Number one is to obey God's command. And so who'd like to look up there 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Miss Sandy, go ahead. All right, and so we see there, that we are to, what's that first word there on your sheet? Blank? Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have a command from God, from the Lord, to study His word. And that's why we said last week, sometimes I struggle personally with, those yearly Bible reading schedules where it's more so just to check off a box that says, okay, you read this, and instead of just studying and meditating and letting the Bible grow into you and to obey God's command. Then the second reason that we have Bible study is to be ready to give an answer. To be ready to give an answer. And who'd like to read there? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Katie, go ahead.
So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that you have, the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
All right. And so we see there we're to be ready what? Always. We're to be ready always to give an answer. You never know when someone's going to ask you, well, why are you a Christian? You never know when somebody's going to ask you, well, why do you go to church? You're never going to know why or when somebody's going to ask you, well, why do you believe this about the Bible? Or why do you believe this about Christianity? Or why do you believe this about God? And the only way we're going to really know how to answer those things is if we study the Bible. is if we read the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to have the answer all of the time. None of us have the answer to every single question that could possibly come up, because we're always learning. We're always growing. We're always learning and studying, growing closer to God and drawing closer to Him. But we study to be ready to give an answer. And I like that phrase there in the last part of 1 Peter 3:15. It says, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. If you're a Christian this morning, you have hope in your heart. You have hope in your life. You have hope that the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. And you should be ready to give an answer to that. And so we should be excited to study the Word of God because of the hope that we have in us. So why do we do Bible study? Number two there on your paper, to obey God's command. We're study, that's that first blank there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. B, to be ready to give an answer. And the blank there is always. And then the third thing there is to guide your path. Why do we study the Bible? So that it can guide our path. And the verses are right there on our page. Who'd like to read there? Proverbs 6:23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. Miss Martha, go ahead. And then Miss Sandy, you can read Psalms for us there. All right, then Miss Sandy.
I'm in there.
All right.
Psalms is the longest one in the whole book.
It is, and Psalm 119 is the longest psalm.
That's right. That's what I'm going to say. I'm in there.
One time I got up to preach, and usually I have folks stand for the reading, and I said, "Okay, we're going to be in Psalm 119 this morning, and we're going to read all 100 plus verses and stand." And the people just looked at me like I was crazy. And so I didn't make them stand. So don't worry about that. But Psalm 119, 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
All right. So, you know, our world is a very dark place. Mm-hmm. And you turn on the news and more you just see things that will deject and discourage and depress and get you down. And we need something in the midst of that darkness to cut through. We need something in the midst of that seemingly, and that's a good word to say for it, seemingly hopeless, because it's not hopeless when there's a God in heaven. But we need it to guide our path. We need it to take us and show us the right way we need to go. And then we see D, the fourth reason we do Bible study is to strengthen you spiritually. Is to strengthen you spiritually. Who'd like to read there Ephesians 4 and verse number 23? Ephesians 4 and verse 23. Brother Kenny?
I had it just a second. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
All right. And so we see simple there. And be what?
Renewed
in the spirit of your mind. And so when we study the Bible, and the reason we have Bible study is so that we can be strengthened spiritually. And the time you need to probably study the Bible the most is the times you don't feel like studying the Bible, the times you don't feel like reading the Bible, because I guarantee you those days you don't feel like reading it and you actually sit down and you get into the Bible, you get into the Word, and you get into what God has for you that day, you will walk away renewed. You will walk away refreshed. You will walk away strengthened spiritually. And so we see we do Bible study to obey God's command, to be ready to give an answer, to guide our path, to strengthen us spiritually. And then number five there, we do Bible study to keep us from sin. To keep us from sin. Who'd like to read there? Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Miss Sandy, go ahead.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
All right, so this is another reason we do Bible study. to keep us from sin. Even though we're saved, even though we're Christians, we still struggle with the flesh. We still struggle with the devil. We still struggle with the world. None of us here, just because we're Christians, that doesn't make us perfect. That doesn't make us better than anybody else. That doesn't make us holier than somebody else. All it does is make us sinners saved by the grace of God. And when we say, okay, well, how do we keep from sin? Well, the Bible helps keep us from sin. The Bible helps keep us from doing those things. And so that's why we do Bible study. Several reasons, and we can probably list a whole lot more as to why we do Bible study. But Bible study is vital to the Christian's walk with God. And so then thirdly, and finally this morning, we see there how to do Bible study. How to do Bible study. Well, number one, we ought to have a certain time to do it. We ought to have a certain time to do it. Who'd like to look up there? Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. Miss Sandy, go ahead.
To everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven.
All right, and so.
My father quoted that to me. I have enough that just before he died.
What's that?
My father quoted that to me. I have enough that just before he died.
Mm. Yep. To everything there is a season, everything there is a time. And, you know, Bible study, it can be done at any time, whatever time you find convenient, but a scheduled time will assure you that it gets done. You know, some people, they're early risers. They like to get, how many here like to get up early? All right, Miss Sandy, you're the minority here. I don't like to get up early.
I get up. Sometimes I wake up 3:30, 4:00. Yeah, the
if Joe was here, he'd be with you.
So, okay.
I don't want to see anybody's faces or hear anybody or talk to anybody.
You just want your alone time. Now, see, I don't mind that. I like that. Growing up, some of my favorite times was Thanksgiving and Christmas, because I'd get up early, I'd put on the news, and the news would always have some type of feel-good story for that particular day. And it would still be dark, a little bit cold. I'd get something to drink, and same way to this day. You know, I get up sometimes when everybody else is still sleeping, nobody's up, and it's just a nice, quiet, peaceful time. But other than that, I don't like getting up early. I like sleeping in. And so some like to get up early. Some like to stay up late, go to bed early. And so there's various things, but usually what happens is a lot of people, they get up, they'll say, okay, I'm going to have my Bible study, I'm going to have my prayer time, my devotions, I'll have my coffee, I'll get ready for work. But what happens is usually in the mornings we find ourselves running behind, we find ourselves running late, or whatever else the case may be. And so that gets pushed away, and then we don't wind up doing it that day. And the more you miss, the more easy it is to miss. And so it's important, I think, to have a certain time to do it. A scheduled time will help you, assure you that it gets done. Like prayer. The Bible says there, Psalm 63:1, early will I seek thee. And so that's always a good time, early to seek him. Usually after a day gets started, you know, people put off their Bible study until later, but sometimes later never comes. But a daily time with God must be set. It must be kept. We need to have that appointed time where this is just our alone time with God. And in today's society, it's harder than ever to have that alone time. You have your cell phone. You have your tablets. You have your watches. You have everything that you can possibly think of to distract you is there to distract you. And so when you have your time for Bible study, turn off the phone, turn off the TV. Just, you know, get in that prayer closet. Get in that alone time with God so that it doesn't get interrupted. And so have a set time. And then number two, we see use the King James Bible. Use the King James Bible. Who'd like to read there? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Miss Martha, go ahead.
2 Timothy 3,
All right. So we see there, the Bible is the Word of God. And it's been preserved perfectly for us in English for people today. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." You know, you've heard me say it often. For everything God has something true for, Satan has a counterfeit for. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ, well, someday there's going to be Antichrist. And when it comes to the Bible, the devil has diluted, he has corrupted, he has subtracted, he has counterfeited God's Word. And, you know, today people, I like to say that the King James Bible, well, it's too hard to understand. It cannot be understood. But when you look at it and you start to really do the study into it, the newer versions that we have today, they're actually more difficult to read and more difficult to understand than the KJV. If you ever heard of the Fleisch-Kincaid grade level indicators, the King James Bible is on a fifth grade reading level according to the Fleisch-Kincaid grade scale. When you get into some of the newer versions, they go up to 7th, 8th, 9th, and they just keep going up. And so the devil has gotten us to buy into this thing that the Bible cannot be trusted. But the problem with the Bible is not that it cannot be understood, but with what is understood that people are not willing to change. And that's usually what it is. The Bible tells us that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it is that it pierces even the dividing asunder of bone or of heart and marrow, that it's like a mirror. You read the Bible, and it shows you things in your life that you need to change. And as a people, we just don't like that in general. We just don't like being told what to do and what to change. But the Bible tells us what we need to change. So use a good Bible. Use the King James Bible. Number three, use study helps. Use study helps. Who would like to read there? 2 Timothy 4:13. 2 Timothy 4 and 13. Go ahead, man.
"The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments."
All right. So to best understand the Bible, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Usually as you're reading the Bible, you come to the verse and you say, well, what does that mean? Usually the verse before it or the verse after it will give context to the verse that you're reading. So the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. But to understand the Bible more, study helps can and should be used. The study helps used most will be for word studies, to help you define a word, to look up context, to help you see who it's written to and where it's written to. Brother Kenny?
I found that because of, as your Hatfield's help, I found that it's helpful to have I think it's 1896 or something.
1828.
Webster's Dictionary.
Yep.
Because a lot of the words that are used in the Bible have different meanings to us today. And if you use an older dictionary like that, it helps put words in the right context and give you the right meaning for those words.
That's right. That's right. And two study helps that are used by people are the 1828 Noah's Webster's Dictionary, but also a Strong's Concordance. That's perhaps the best concordance on the market. There's also a good study tool. It's called Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. And in fact, we just got one in the library. My pastor, when he was here, he brought a whole bunch of books. And so if you ever like to borrow the Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, it's in our library now. And so even though the library is not set up yet, it's in the office here. But, you know, there's much that we can learn, you know, just from looking up a definition of a word. Other books that are helpful resources would include maps, charts, commentaries. I remember one week, Miss Rose, she brought in her Rose's, and that's the publisher. Rose brought in Rose Publishing's maps and charts, and that was an excellent study tool, commentaries, and the Apostle Paul. He used the scripture as well as other books as seen there in 2 Timothy 4, 13, the cloak that I left at Tauros with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books. So that fill in the blank there under C is books, but especially the parchments. And then the final way to have Bible study is to have an organized plan. Have an organized plan on what you're going to do. Who'd like to read there? Acts 17 and verse 11. Acts 17 and verse 11. Miss Martha, go ahead. All right, and so we see, you know, some people, and I'm this way because I start reading something and then I get off track, and I start to go in this direction and in that direction, and I'm all over the place when it comes to the Bible reading. I start out to read personally, but then, you know, also being a pastor, I start thinking about, okay, well, this will make a good sermon, or this will make a good Bible study, or this will help somebody, and so then I start branching off. But some people, they'll pick any topic or place in Scripture to read and study. But those who don't have a systematic way to study are usually very inconsistent and do not have their devotions regularly. The easiest way for a person to get consistent is to start at the beginning and read 3 chapters a day. And at the end of the year, you'll have read through the Bible in that year. But another excellent way to study is to use a devotional guidebook. So each month or every other month, we have for the adults, we have your Baptist Bread devotion. So you can take that, and it's a little half page, and you can take that and read that with your Bible study. We have devotions for the teenagers, devotions for the little ones. And so to get them into the habit of having this systematic way of studying the Bible, and that they'll give you questions, they'll give you directions for your Bible reading, and regardless of what your plan is, the key is to have a plan. Okay, how am I going to study the Bible today? How am I going to study the Bible this month, this week, this year, and so on and so forth. Miss Debbie, who was here Wednesday night, and Brother Bob, 1 year while we were in Oklahoma, Miss Debbie came to me and said, "Do you have a plan to read the Bible chronologically?" And I didn't have a plan, but there's a good book if you ever want to read the Bible chronologically. So not just Genesis to Revelation, but when it was actually written, there's a good book called the Reese's Chronological Bible. And yep.
This guy, he was a pastor, he was going to do it, but he didn't get it done, and his son took up the pastor, and he finished the book for his dad.
Absolutely.
And I had the book.
Absolutely. And it's a great study tool to just see, okay.
You're not jumping all over the Bible.
Exactly. Yeah. You're reading it in order.
Yeah.
And so the key is to have a plan when you read the Bible. Have a plan when you seek to study the Bible. And so we close with this illustration. The story is told of an elderly woman living in abject poverty in Scotland. Many years earlier, her son had come to America and had not returned to his native land. One day a friend visited the mother and inquired, "Does your son ever help with your expenses?" Reluctantly, she admitted, "No, but he writes me nice long letters and sends me interesting pictures." The visitor wanted to speak harshly of the man, but he held back and asked, "May I see the pictures?" The aged mother brought them out of a drawer, and to the friend's amazement, they were valuable banknotes. Through the years, she had been needlessly living in poverty. Likewise, many people have no idea the value of the Bible and are suffering spiritually from their lack of knowledge. The Bible has very much value for us as Christians, but it does us no good if we just keep it closed, if we just keep it on the shelf and collecting dust. You know, we go to church, we bring our Bibles, and that's one of the reasons we have the Bibles in the pews, but that's why we encourage you, bring your Bible, because there's nothing like your Bible. You can mark in it. You can write in it. You can and you just know the feel for your Bible. And so it's very important to study the Bible if we're going to have a walk with God. Any questions on our lesson this morning on the study? All right. And if not, let's close. And yeah. That's right.
And that really, I didn't know that. All these years I studied,
and
I never realized that.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And that goes back to something we were talking about last week. You can read something, and it's always been there, but then just one day, the Lord opens your eyes to it.
That segment that I never took it before.
That's right. Absolutely. Anybody else? Any other questions or comments about the lesson this morning? All right. If not, Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?